So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and indeed not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. So we started looking at this gift of men and Ephesians chapter 4, where we were able to see that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men, or rather the gifts of men. And these are what we refer to as the fourfold or the fivefold ministry. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 11, and he himself, that means Christ himself. Christ is the one who descended first to the lowly parts of the earth and to hell. And then he defeated the devil and all his mercenaries and all the spirits there, and then he ascended and he filled all things. And as he ascended, the Bible says he gave gifts of men, and he himself, Christ himself. So these are people that have been commissioned by Jesus himself. When he ascended, he chose some, and that is why they are unique giftings and callings that are upon believers. Not every believer is called to be an apostle. Not every believer is called to be a prophet. Not every believer is called to be to the office of an evangelist. Not every believer is called to the office of a pastor or a teacher. Now, what do I mean that when it says apostle is a sent person? But now these are offices, huh? These are gifts of men. These are gifts to men that are offices. Now, everyone is supposed to be available to be sent, and we can be apostolic in nature. That means that we are sent. We have a mindset of being sent. We are available to be sent. We can be apostles in that apostolic mindset. But the apostle is a unique office, you understand? Then we have the prophet. Now, all of us, Paul says that I desire that all ye prophesy. You know, that you can prophesy. And we say that prophecy or prophesying is speaking the mind of God to a people, that God takes over your vocal cords and he speaks to people. And as you're hearing what God is saying, you're speaking, or God could have spoken to you at night and or in across the week, and he gives you his mind, what he wants you to communicate to the people. And then you come and prophesy. Remember, there are two aspects of prophecy. There is forthtelling and there is foretelling. Forthtelling is communicating the mind of God now. Foretelling is speaking of the future. Now, when we say someone is a prophet, the office of a prophet, this person has more manifestations of these. They can either see, either God speak, reveals to them through sight. That means they see in the supernatural, and they are able to communicate that. But then there are also those who are able to hear. That means God speaks to them. They are able to reveal things that are from God. So now prophets have a role, and there is an office of the prophetic. Then we also have evangelists. Remember, Jesus commanded his disciples and all of us to go forth into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the command to evangelize is not just for the evangelist, but it is for the all believers. You can remember even Paul asking Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. That means he is a pastor, yes. He sent him as a pastor to Ephesus, but he tells him to do the work of an evangelist. That means everyone can do this work. In fact, when the believers were scattered in Acts chapter 6, after the great persecution arose and the believers were scattered, the Bible says the believers went everywhere, and everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. They went and evangelized as they went. But you see, the evangelist is unique in that this is now an office where this is a uniquely gifted person that God has given great grace to manifest and to preach and to advertise the gospel. And the evangelist advertises, is an advertiser of the gospel. He speaks And he prophesies, he proclaims Jesus, he announces Jesus, and God also gives them the manifestation of signs, miracles, and wonders. Because the Bible itself says that God, as they went, he accompanied the word with signs, miracles, and wonders. So the evangelist is a proclaimer of the truth of the gospel. And because they need to proclaim, many people are not going to listen to philosophies. What they want is a demonstration of power. So most of the time you'll find that the power ministry is present in the evangelist. But you see, the power ministry is not only limited to the evangelist. The power ministry is also available in the apostolic. Remember, the Bible says the apostolic, that these are the signs of the apostles. Signs, miracles, and wonders were evident among you. Even the prophets have the manifestation of the power. Why? Because they hear what God has said, or they see what God has said, and when they declare what God has said, power moves with the word of God. The Bible says God is watching to see that his word is fulfilled. The pastoral too has power, because when the pastors, when they shepherd, when they take care of the sheep, when they pray for the sheep, when they pray for healing, of course, the power of God will be manifested. And often, we often think that the teaching does not have power, and which is also a wrong concept. You'll find someone saying, no, me, I'm just a teacher, so I don't have power. But that is also wrong, because the teaching also leads to the manifestation of the power. Why? Because the teaching builds faith in the people, and the people are able to receive what they need from God. For example, you can think of Jesus. When Jesus went back to his hometown and to his village, the Bible says he was unable to do mighty works among them. He was not able to do any major miracles. That means he just healed a few minor ailments, maybe headache, backaches, some flus here and there. But other places he was healing, raising cripples, raising the dead, you know, the making blind eyes to see. But why was it in his hometown that he was unable? Yes, first of all, there was offense in that they asked. They were familiar to him. Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not the carpenter's son? Are his sisters not with us here? Where did he get this power? So they despised him. But then Jesus, he marveled at their unbelief. But he did not leave them. The Bible says he went around the villages teaching them. Because he understood that the reason they could not believe, the reason they could not receive their miracles is because they were not taught the word of God. And because they were not taught the word of God, they could not appropriate faith. So teaching also is linked to the power. Because when the people are taught the word of God, then they know their rights. And in fact, many of Jesus's miracles were actually, some were by the faith of the persons, but others were by the gift of Christ. So actually, and more were by the faith of the person, less were by the gift of Jesus. When Jesus will heal by the gift, maybe someone was sick, he will just heal them by the gift or raising of the dead. The person is dead, the person has no faith. Jesus raises the dead. But you see, there were many that people, when they were taught, then they applied their faith. They knew this was the Son of David. Then they declared, Son of David, have mercy on me. So, and Jesus will tell them, your faith has made you well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we preach Christ, when we teach the people the word of God, then the power of Christ is also be able to be made manifest. Remember, the power of God, the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but of power. So power, the power ministry is present, and is present in all these ministries of the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, and the teachers. And remember, I said, if you look at it from the dimension of the fourfold ministry, it says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, which are teachers, all of these are supposed to be able to teach. And one of the things that will help you to distinguish between the false and the genuine is that many of the false people cannot reveal the mind of God. They cannot teach. Their focus is just on the demonstration of the gifts. You'll find someone is just prophesying the whole service or is just healing the whole service, but is not able to bring forth mysteries from God, from the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. Why? Because they're just operating from the gift, and some of them are operating from falsehood. So one of the biggest things that we will know is that the teaching ministry or the teachers, these are the gifts of men, are responsible for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Many people think that the work of ministry is only that the ministers, is only the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, that these are the ministers of the gospel. No, the Bible is saying that the saints, equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That means the work of ministry is not the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers. The work of ministry is for the saints. That means that every saint must be involved in ministry. Every believer must be a minister. And every believer, first of all, is equipped to be a worker. That means if you're in the church of God and you're not working, then you are not yet being obedient to the truth of the gospel. You're not yet being obedient to what God is raising you. And the work of these gifts of men is to equip you. And anyone that is equipped, any saint that is equipped, will be brought to the level of also the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And that's the one thing that you will realize, that when you are equipped, then you are now courageous. You are now courageous to do the works of the ministry. Now, you too can go and preach. You too can go and prophesy over someone. You too can go and pray for the sick. You too can go and evangelize. You too can be available to be sent. Why? Because the body of Christ is being built up when each and every person is brought up to the same level. You see, God desires, does not desire that there to be some are superstars and others are not. No, that was not the aim of God. God did not want this big divide, you know, between the, you know, the offices and the body of Christ and the saints. No, he wants the saints also to be brought into the work of ministry, to be built up also, until the Bible says, till we all. That means the end result is every believer, every saint coming to the unity of the faith. I tell you, God's desire is that you and I, you the congregation, you the saints, are brought to the same level of the unity of the faith that the apostles have, that the prophets have, that the evangelists have, that the pastors have, that the teachers have. That means there must be no much difference. Of course, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers, they are there by office, they are there by rank, they must be honored. But you too, as a saint, you too are able to be equipped to the work of the ministry. And if you look at the early church, you can see that they were equipped, they were built up, they were strengthened, that even when the church in Jerusalem was still not ready to preach to Gentiles, the Bible says the believers came and they're the ones who started to preach to the Gentiles. Even before the apostles came, even before those Barnabas came and Saul, the believers themselves, certain of them, started preaching to the Gentiles. Why? Because they were equipped. And I tell you, one of the things that you'll realize about God, when God has equipped someone, he is ready to deploy them. And you'll wonder, but why is this person leaving? No, the person has now been equipped, and the person can now be released to go and discharge their ministry. Why? Because this person now, God has seen that this person now, one, the person is able to pray on their own. The person is able to be effective. The person has a prayer commitment. The person has a word commitment. That means the person has learned to hear the word of God, has learned to obey the word of God. The person knows how to get the juice or the milk of the word of God and to break it down for themselves. This is a person who has learned the commitment, the discipline of meditation on the word of God. Number three, also, this is a person who has learned to hear the voice of God for themselves. And this person knows now the mind of God, because when you know the word of God, then you know the mind of God. And then when you know the mind of God, then you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This person now has received empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He is equipped. Because when you are taught the word of God, then now God anoints you. Remember, now you are a disciple. You have been disciplined. You have stayed in discipline. You are walking in righteousness. You understand the word of righteousness. You know how to distinguish between wrong and right. You know how to distinguish between right and evil. You know how to stand. You know, even when you have made a mistake, you know how to come back to God. Now, when you are fully equipped, then now what remains is deployment. Because the first aspect is coming to Christ. Then discipleship. Discipleship is lifelong, where you are a constant student of Christ. And then beyond that, then you are now deployed. Now you are deployed to the marketplace. You are deployed to your office. You are deployed to another country. And one of the things that God does is when people are built up, when the saints are built up, he will scatter them. Either they are scattered willingly, like in Acts 13, where the apostles, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Or God brings persecution, conflict. The believers are scattered. They have to go and preach elsewhere. Or even God splits churches. You can think how Barnabas and Paul, they split. It looked like a bad split, but it was all in the plan of God, because these now are mature believers. These now are full-blown apostles, both Barnabas and Paul. Let them, one will go to new territory. The other will go and encourage the previous churches. Why? Because one has the ministry of encouragement. Remember, Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. Paul, on the other hand, is an apostle. He says he made it his mission to go and lay the foundation where no one else had done the work before. He always wanted to break virgin grounds, to go and break new places. All this is the work of the ministry. The Bible says all these, the gifts of men, they are given by Christ himself for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. It is the saints who will do the work of ministry. If you're going to be a saint, if you're going to be an effective believer, if you're going to be a vessel of honor, remember that God wants to use you, but first he will place you under one of these leaders. And they will equip you, they will build you, they will teach you, there will be a commitment from them. And if you're also committed to learn, you will learn, you will grow, you will understand. You see, that's the beauty of God. God will always position people. I always make this statement, and I've heard it before, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, the teacher comes. God always ensures that when the student is ready, he will bring a teacher. And the teacher is there to teach them. But you see, some people will assume them, will take them lightly, but they don't know that the teachers are even there for a season. A time will come when God will take that teacher somewhere else. But by then, if you're already equipped, if you're already strengthened, then you're no longer even dependent on the teacher. And even when the teacher comes, he is speaking things that you already know. And that's why I always like it when it's always good when you're saying, and then you say, "Thank you for the reminder." Why? Because I'm not speaking something new. I'm speaking something that you have heard before. I'm speaking something that Christ has ministered to you. I'm speaking something that even you add on another dimension. Why? Because you are equipped. You are being brought to the unity of the faith. You are being brought to the knowledge of God. You are being brought to that complete understanding of who Christ is. And when you have that full revelation, when you come to that knowledge, and this knowledge, the word there is epignosis. Remember, epignosis, that is the complete and accurate knowledge of God. When you have come to the complete or accurate and knowledge of God, of who, what God has done, of who you are in Christ, of what God has made you in Christ, then you are brought to that measure, to that stature, and to the Son of God, and to a perfect man. You are brought to that perfect man, to that wholeness of Christ. And this perfect man is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature speaks of height, speaks of authority. You're being brought to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The reason why we are different is because of the stature we have achieved. The reason why there are men of God that just speak a word and it answers is because of their stature, of their fullness of Christ, their understanding of Christ. The reason why some people will take 5 hours to cast out a devil and someone else will just speak a word and the devil will come out is the difference in the measure of their stature, of their fullness of Christ. All these are now, this is now the issue of rank in the spirit. As you grow, as you grow, as you grow in the knowledge, as you grow in the equipping, then you can do more works. Just like the same way you cannot lift 100 kgs in the gym just from day one. No, you start with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. There's a place where you start with, then you grow in the stature. Likewise also in the things of God, we are all called to grow, but you are placed under apostles, under prophets, under evangelists, under pastors, under teachers, so that you can be equipped. And when you're equipped, that means you have every tool that is necessary to do the work of Christ. And I pray that God will raise us up. God will raise you up and finalize the equipping, and beyond that, deploy you, such that you are ready to be sent, you are ready to be used. It might not even be sent to another place. You might be still being deployed where you are, to the same house of God where you are, and you find that now you are an effective servant of Christ where God has raised you. And then everyone can see. It is evident to all that you are a man who has been built by God. You are a man who is stable. You are not a child. You are not confused. And maybe when God will help us, we'll now start looking at other things. Where those things that confuse us, why are they called winds of doctrine? You know, they blow people here and there. Because if you're not stable, you're blown away like the wind. We'll stop here and I pray God gives us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome. Yes, go ahead.
No problem. Just trying to bring up my screen.
No problem.
Last thing to add on this side.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you indeed for speaking to us in a language that we understand. I pray that we may be established firmly and rooted in Christ, that we may come to that complete knowledge, that epignosis, knowledge of you, knowledge of the Son of God, that we may grow, we may be equipped to the measure, to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. I commit this day before you. Go ahead of us, strengthen us, watch over us. Indeed, I thank you for the gifts of men that you've given unto us, that indeed we might be equipped, we might continue to grow. And I pray that you help us to grow, to be established, to be committed as believers to our prayer altars, to our places of worship and consecration, O God. May we honor you, may we exalt you, may we glorify you, God. This day we commit it to your able hands. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.